Amen. Well, again, it's good to have you here. We started a series last week, just so everybody's on the same page. We started a series last week called Run to God. Say, Run to God. It's a 21-day challenge that we've encouraged you. And typically, a lot of churches do this. We've done this in the past in January, beginning of the year, to challenge people to do more or to go closer to God and focus on the Lord more than they typically do. And so in the past, we've always challenged you wherever you're at with your walk with God. I've never tried to take a position of saying everybody has to hit a certain mark. Because for some, it'll be no big deal. For some, it might seem impossible. I've encouraged everybody to, no matter where you're at in your walk with God, let's just go a little farther. But in preparing for this year, I felt the Lord dropped upon my heart the idea of not challenging people to go a little farther than they currently are, but to go a little farther than they've ever been in their walk with God. So that encompasses all the years of how long you've been saved. You go back and say, when is the strongest time, the season of your life that you pursued God? Let's go a little farther than that. Let's stretch ourselves a little beyond what we've ever done. And it brings us to literally a place of saying, Lord, how am I going to do that? But if we can begin to trust Him to help us make the investment into our own faith and our walk with God, then it will strengthen us to trust Him to help us receive what He has for us to receive. Did you hear me? A lot of times we're working purely on trusting God on the receiving side. Okay, God, I'm going to do this. And I need you to help me out. Give me an answer. Give me an opportunity. Fix this problem. Heal my body, whatever. And we're trusting God to help us receive. But something greater in the receiving is if you can trust God to help you give or to invest in your own walk with God, that strengthens your ability to trust Him in receiving. So the 21-day challenge is to take 21 days, and we started last week, actually Monday was day one, today's day seven, and to challenge ourselves to go farther than we've ever been. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm not perfect. Come on, look him in the eyes again and say, and before you get too happy, you're not either. Right? So if you might miss it one day, just say, I'm going to get back up on the next day and do better. You might think, well, you know, I didn't know about it. I missed last week. Am I out? No, you're not out. Jesus told a whole story about a guy who comes into town, hires some people at the beginning of the day, sends them out to the field of work, comes back a few hours, hires some more, comes back near the end of the day, hires some more. At the end of the day, they're all rewarded the same. Now, don't take that as your excuse to not do anything till the last day. See how your mind works, because you're aware of it now. But I encourage you to do this. I really believe it will set the course for your year, for your not only 21 days, for your year. And have you noticed it might not always be easy, and it might not be a quick, I prayed and read the Bible and worshiped and or whatever the Lord speaks to your heart to do. So I know tomorrow's going to be a great day. If you've done this, you might find out tomorrow was the worst day you've had in a long time. Because the devil's not going to sit back and say, oh, great, patty cake, aren't you a wonderful Christian? And the investment process takes time. So when you plant a seed, it doesn't produce fruit the next day. And there might be some plants that need to be uprooted out of our lives. Come on, somebody. But I'm telling you, if you stick with it, you'll be so glad you did it. Amen. Amen. If you stick with it, say, if I stick with it, I'm going to be so glad I did it. Amen. And we've encouraged people, you don't just do what you think. Let God show you. Right. I had a lady Wednesday night said, you know, Pastor, I took your advice and said, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? And she said, the Lord told me, give up watching TV for 21 days. And she said, but Lord, that's all my favorite TV programs are coming on right now. I don't know if I can miss this one or that. You got to love being real, amen, because that's, and she said, but she made a commitment, she's going to give that time up and seek God, yeah. Amen. Yeah. It's amazing how we say, God, I have no time, and God said, what about that 2 hours you watched TV the other day? Well, Lord, I got to relax, you know. So anyway, so we've taken the concept of this whole thing out of the Message translation, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 7. Says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice. Let's do this again, but let's read it together. Can we do that? They're going to throw it on the screen. One, two, three. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Amen. Now let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you. We honor you today. We open our hearts and our lives, and we look to you. We run to you today. Direct our path, our thoughts. Guide us, empower us to do what you've called us to do. And we give you all the praise. And everyone said,
amen.
So we started last week that out of Hebrews 12, that God has a race that he sets before each and every one of us. Your race is equally important, uniquely different than anybody else. But learning to define and discern, discover your race for this day, your race for the year, your race for the rhythm of your life is so important, because a lot of people get frustrated in their walk with God because they're trying to run somebody else's race. Your race may be noble, but if it's not your race, it's somebody else's race.
Right.
Which means if you did your best to finish and cross the line, you get no return. Can you imagine if I went a day after the marathon and tried to run it and somehow, some way, with God's help, finished it, crossed the line, look around, nobody's there. Because I wasn't in the race.
Right.
Even though I might have ran the race that everybody else ran, you got to discover what race God wants you to run.
Right.
And we talk from that perspective of discovering your uniqueness. Following it, and that's what on that CD that we just gave you. But besides discovering your race, we talked about before you can run for God, we need to run to God. Before I run for God, I need to run to God, because it's a human nature tendency in running for God, even doing good things, to eventually over time start depending on my own ability, depending on how it looks to me, and trying to run it with what I can do. And the problem with that is that the race that God calls each and every one of us to run, though uniquely different, equally important, that race for ourselves will tire us out. It will wear you out. You cannot run the God race that he has for you on your own ability. Let me say that again. You can run your race with your ability, but the race that God has for you to run, you cannot finish it with your own power.
That's right.
You can see that from time and time again. When God would begin to reveal his plan and his purposes to men and women in the Bible times, they typically were freaked out and say, you must have the wrong person. Look to the other neighbor and say, you got the wrong person. Maybe you're talking to the guy next to me. Maybe you're talking to the lady behind me. But God has a way of creating the race that he wants you to run that's beyond your ability. So when you finish the race in victory, you will say it was God and God alone who worked in me and through me to bring me to this place.
Right.
But before we run for God, we must run to God.
Amen.
I want to look again at this Proverbs 3, verse 5. We're going to look at this key verse. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Say with me, trust God.
Trust God.
Say, trust God.
Trust God.
Trust is an interesting thing, is it not?
Yeah.
Story about a man who was many years ago riding his horse, and the horse reared up, saw a snake, and accidentally threw him off, and he fell over the cliff, and as he's coming down, he was able to reach and grab onto a little branch that was growing out of the side of the cliff. And he's hanging there for hours, no way to climb up, no way to go down. And he began to yell as loud as he can, is anybody out there? After much time and no response, he decided to turn to God and say, God, if you're alive, help me. And a voice from heaven said, I'm here, my son. He said, well, help me, Jesus. He said, I'm here to help you. Just let go of the branch. A few seconds later, he thought and said, is there anybody else up there? Have you ever noticed that when we trust God, he'll ask us to let go of something that we're hanging on or depending on?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
God has a way. Now the offering's behind us. God has a way of saying, you're praying, God, help me. I'm struggling to meet bills. Okay, my child, why don't you give your tithe? Is anybody else up there? God, help me. I'm struggling in this relationship. Why don't you forgive him? Is anybody else up there? It's almost like a little test. How are you passing the trust test with God? Is it an area of your life that maybe you're being challenged with? We say we love God. That's obvious. We say we're following God. But to trust God requires some risk.
Yes. Yes.
If there's no risk, there'd be no need for trust.
Right.
To trust God requires something that's beyond what we can figure it out. If we fully understand it, and boy, isn't that nice in the rhythm of life to say, all right, God, show me what you want me to do. Oh, that seems possible. But you know, God, I understand everything and the details about it, so I'm in. Have you ever waited or wanted God to show you all the details of the whole situation that you're dealing with before you agreed to be in? All in. Now, some of us, we live in the edge, say, I'm partly in. I got my toe in the water in. Can you imagine Peter's thought when he went from, and when you study the life of Peter, you got to study it like these are real people with their own issues, own hangups, highs, lows, good and bad and indifferent. Peter was one of these guys that he was like quick to act. He was. He was like an emotional extreme basket case sometimes. If he got angry, he pulled out a sword and cut off the servant's ear. Right? Jesus had to heal him, right? Peter but he was the first one to get the revelation that from the Father that you are the Christ. But it was shortly after that he was the first one to decide that he was the one that could rebuke Jesus. Think about that. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. So he was quick. I don't think he always thought things through. He just jumped in. And the moment when Jesus walked on the water and they're all freaking out and they said, Lord, if that's you. And Peter says, Lord, if that's you, call me out. I wonder if at the time he thought, great idea. And Jesus said, come. And he went, not such a great idea. He didn't say, Jesus, explain how this works.
Right.
We'll see what happens, Peter, is that when I walk on the water, that the power of God comes in and takes the molecules of that water and slows them down and makes it like concrete. No, he didn't go through all that. We don't know how it worked, right?
Right.
If you won't move or trust God until you've figured it out, you won't trust God in many steps. Because God will ask you to take a step on water and say, come on, let's go for a walk. Well, how about if I just, let's just say, you know, one of us would, I would have walked slowly. That first step, I think, personally, in the moment, I think somewhere logic would have jumped in and I would have thought, well, let me just put a foot out. Because if I keep one foot in and one foot out, I can at least feel something, right? Is there anything? Nothing's holding me up when I do that. Gee, are you sure you called me? Maybe it was somebody else because you think I'd feel something at least an inch? I'm not feeling anything, Jesus. Right? Talk to me. Have you ever tried? I mean, you're like, it's like we sample God. Right? You go to the mall and they got all these little samples. We're like, well, Jesus, I'll trust you, but let me sample what's going to happen. I can't find in the Bible where God says, listen, trust me and just sample me. Sample my word. Sample my instruction. Sample my direction. No, when we trust God, we won't always fully understand it.
Right.
He jumped out of the boat. The King's English is a great translation in this verse 2. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. See, to trust God, you can't be in a position of, God, I fully understand this. Because, let me help you out, if it makes complete sense to your logic, it's probably not faith.
Right.
Not saying faith is illogical.
Right.
But to trust someone, you have to be willing to work through some ambiguity. Obscurity.
Come on.
God, I don't see this thing clearly, but I'm
going
to step. It does. I don't fully understand how this is going to work, Father God, but I'm going to step.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I'm going to try.
Yeah.
And not only does it take a little bit of ambiguity or a little bit of, I can't figure this out, it takes a little bit of risk. Peter could have sank. Man, giving your tithes and offerings takes a little bit of risk. Because I don't know many people that say, oh, I can give my tithe and offering because, you know, I don't need that anyway. Most of people that tithe aren't people that have so much money. They're just like, well, if it doesn't work, no big deal. If you're ever in a position of, God, I'll do it, because if it doesn't work, it's no big deal. Maybe you're not really trusting God, because when God asks you to trust him to do stuff, there's a consequence if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
He'll say, why don't you pray for the person next at work? Why don't you know, they're sick. Why don't you ask if you can pray for them? You don't look and say, well, I'll sure, God, because if it don't work, no big deal. No, in your mind, you go, God, if it doesn't work,
yeah,
they're going to tag me as an idiot. They're not going to want to talk to me. They're going to mark me as somebody who's a little off.
Right?
Yeah. That doesn't mean it's going to happen that way. I'm just telling you how the devil messes with our mind. Right. Has anybody ever had the devil try to say that to you?
Yeah.
So there's always a certain amount of risk, a certain amount of uncertainty.
Yes.
To trust God. If you have your Bible, I encourage you to bring your Bible. I want to look at the story of the healing of the nobleman's son, the Gospel of John, chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4. John chapter 4, starting at verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman. Which, here's somebody that's got it all figured out. Praise God. Whose son was sick at Capernaum. Here's somebody who had it all figured out, but ran into a problem of life he could not resolve. I think it's an unfortunate reality in the rhythm of life. And so many times in our Christian world, we try to figure out why.
Yeah.
I want you to understand, we believe in healing. We believe in blessing. We believe in success. We believe in victory. We call it John 10:10 dynamic living. But in life, you will have opportunities or challenges. And some of those challenges you will not be able to figure out on your own or handle it on your own. If your life is made up of just what you can do, I've heard people say, I'm a self-made person. You have to feel sorry for them, because that person, like anybody, will have opportunities in the rhythm of their life to face impossible situations.
Yeah.
And one of the saddest things you can deal with is the sickness of a child.
Yeah.
The heart of any father, they'd rather be sick themselves than see their son or daughter sick. And this just wasn't a sickness that they were just dying from. This is one that they had a fever, we find out later, which means that they were hurting, they were suffering. A father will go great lengths to protect, to resolve, to fix.
Amen.
And you know, because of his wealth, of his influence, he probably tried everything he could try. Get the best doctor in town. Try, didn't work. Get the best doctor in the next town. Try, didn't work. But somewhere he heard about Jesus. Whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus, and right now, off the top of my head, I don't know, maybe some of you know, I don't know the distance this guy had to travel. Because he's from a different town. Maybe you know, you can shout it out. Okay, we're all in the same boat. No one knows. Someone figure it out and tell me. Google it while you're here. Come on, somebody. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son. So what was his request? He traveled and he came to Jesus wanting Jesus to come with him back to his house. He had spent energy, time, effort. He had a crisis. He had a situation. He knew Jesus could fix the problem. Are you ready for this? But he had already in his mind fixed the problem for Jesus. Jesus, here's the plan. You need to come with me. We're going to go to my house and you can heal my son. Think about that for a second. We got to digest what's actually happening. So he gives the plan to the Lord. Have we ever tried to give God the plan that would work? God, here's what you need to do. Talk to my boss. Tell him that I am so underpaid that he's going to double my salary. Back pay me for 3 years. Come on, somebody. And just throw in a company car because he feels so guilty about it, right? Here, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to fix it. This is how you need to resolve it. And he approached the Lord with a plan. He'd already figured out how, he could tell you the processing of the guy's mind. He already had a plan, and it almost sounds spiritual. Well, he's trusting God. He's trusting God to the point of his own understanding. Here's, Lord, what you need to do. Come down with me to my house and heal my son. For he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, notice, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Notice Jesus hits him at the heart of where he was dealing at.
Yeah.
Except you see, you won't believe. See, he was trying to sample God a little bit. Unless you see it, you won't believe it.
Come on.
Unless you see it, you won't believe it. Unless you see it, you won't believe it. Unless you see it, you won't believe it. Unless you see it. Because seeing is believing, right? But in the kingdom of God, it's not so.
That's right.
Because this was not a compliment. This was a correction. Because if you want to see it, you must believe it before you see it. You must believe it before you see it. Believing is seeing.
Yeah.
Not seeing is believing.
Right.
See, when we can't figure it out, when there's a risk and God says, I want you to do this, we're like, Lord, I'm not seeing that. But it's not a matter if you see it. It's a matter if you believe it.
Yes.
When God speaks to you through his word, you might not see the end from the beginning. You might not see how this is going to work out if you just trust and begin to obey.
Yeah.
But seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you see it. The question is, do you believe it?
Come on.
It doesn't matter if you see it. The question is if you believe it.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you see it. The question is, do you believe it?
Yes.
Not if somebody else tells you, but if God speaks to your heart through his word,
yep.
Do you believe it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe it? Oh, I believe everything God speaks in his word. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, or my child's going to die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son lives. Notice this transition. And the man... He didn't see it yet. He didn't have a cell phone. How's he doing? He had no way of knowing in the natural if his son was healed. Now think about this. His son was running a fever. Time is of the essence. He had no time to waste. Because if he wasted time, his son would die. You got to see the faith that this father had to take. And he believed, he didn't see anything yet. He believed, he didn't feel anything. He believed before he saw. What am I telling you? Trusting God or believing God or in this whole walk is not about feelings. It's about your feet.
Amen.
He didn't see it, but he what?
Believe.
The man believed. What did he believe? The word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And he went his way. Now think about this for a second. If he would have left, it went back. Because he was a different town. So it wasn't like walking across the street. If he would have walked back to that town, to where his son was at, and was wrong, his son would have been dead. See the risk?
Yeah.
He had no way of getting feedback from his family. See the uncertainty?
Yes.
The only thing that he had on his act of obedience was the word that he was believing. The word that he was believing.
Yes.
So when he turned, he believed, and he turned to begin to go home. He began to walk this thing out. And I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I wonder, as a father, I wonder if he began to weep. I wonder if he began just to praise. I wonder if he began just to pray. I wonder if he began to say, I sure hope this works. This better work. I wonder if he visualized the son, but on the journey, which had to take some time, he had to keep hanging on, keep believing, keep believing. It might have taken him hours. See, someone's going to Google, have anybody found out the difference in space between Capernaum? 70, 2.5 day journey, 70 miles. Now, does that bring another context into this message? Ooh, thank you for preaching with me today. So not 5 minutes, not 10 minutes, 70 miles, not in a car, walking. 2.5 day journey. We see that he meets them somewhere in the, but at least we know at least one day. Maybe two, maybe in the process of three, he was walking his path with nothing else but a word that he believed. When you trust God, there'll be times that you'll find and feel, God, where are you? I'm doing what you've told me to do, and I'm not getting any feedback yet. Lord, you told me to go down this path. Lord, you told me to start this business. Lord, you told me to pray for my child. Lord, you told me I'm not getting any feed. Lord, you told me to take that job. What's the deal? God, I'm missing something. What is going on? And there'll be a time where you might not feel God. There'll be a time that you might not hear God. There'll be a time where you get no feedback from the natural. All you have is a word to keep believing.
Yeah. Amen.
But if you have a word, you have it all.
Come on.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's the
truth. Do you see the risk? Do you see how it's unclear? No feedback. Yet he trusted God. And notice, and as he was now going, because we follow Jesus with our feet, not our feelings.
Yeah.
We follow Jesus with our feet, not our feelings. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he asked or inquired of them the hour when he began to get better or amend. And they said unto him, yesterday. Yesterday. It wasn't today, it was yesterday. So we know at least one day.
Yeah.
Yesterday. At the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, your son lives.
Yes.
I want you to think about something. He was walking. He was doing what God told him to do. He was trusting. He had no feedback. But that tells me that he walked a day with his son already healed. But he had no idea that his son was yet healed. All he still had was the word that he was believing. And so probably that time is when the devil was probably working on him the hardest, saying, why are you doing this? Your son's going to die. Your son's going to die. But I'm here to tell you that the devil is a liar. He's the father of all lies. There's no truth in him, because he knew that his son was already healed. He just couldn't see it yet. But he kept walking. Thy son lives, and himself believed, and his whole household. Is an area of your life that you've been hanging onto that branch and saying, somebody help me. And God said, I'm here. I want you to do this. Is there anybody else? Is there another plan? Because God, I'm not too comfortable with a plan that's not totally clear. I'm not too comfortable with an unclear plan that has a lot of risk. But if we're going to run to God, we have to, in those situations, and it's not easy. That's why you got to say, God, help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus, because I can't do this, because he wants to help. He enjoys not only showing you, but empowering you.
Yes.
Philippians says it is God working in you, giving you the desire and the ability to do what pleases him.
Yes.
Because our natural thing is we don't want to let go of the branch. But if we're going to have what God wants us to have, if we're going to trust him, trust doesn't begin until there's some ambiguity and some risk.
Right.
There's no risk, no major need to trust. Trust the Lord. Let's end with this verse one more time. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. I'm telling you. Trust God. Trust God. Whatever area you might be going through, it might be hard right now, but you're not alone. Trust God. What are you looking for? You're looking for a word. You're looking for him to speak to you through his word. And when you get a word, trust God. Just begin to walk. Walk it out. Walk it out. It's not going to happen immediately. Walk it out. A couple hours later, it might not happen yet. Walk it out. Day later, it might not happen yet. Walk it out. You might be 4 months into it. Walk it out. Because what you don't see, God is working behind the scenes.
Yes.
For your good.
Amen.
Bringing things together. So that when you finally get to the confirmation of what he's done, you'll say, when did that all begin? So I'm telling you, you ought to ask questions. When did all this begin? Oh, we've been talking about giving you a raise for 3 months now. We just finally got to. We've been talking about, you in that position for 6 months. You had no idea. But he began when you began.
Amen.
Amen. When you begin to trust and walk it out, he begins to work. Trust God.